From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Some important off-season decisions are fast approaching for the Oklahoma City Thunder, but maybe not fast enough. From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, I'm Mike Sherman, and this is Inside Thunder Basketball with Mike Baldwin. Mike, the Thunder closes its season Wednesday in L.A. against the Clippers, and it looks like the end couldn't come soon enough. They're 1-6 in April. They're coming off another 30-point loss to Portland. Why is the team suddenly playing so poorly?
One, I think you got to give credit to Portland, arguably the best team in the league. They've been beating a lot of teams by 20 points. Utah, San Antonio, they're coming from deficits down on the road even, something they hadn't done earlier. Portland right now is gelling at the right time. I'm curious to see how they do in the playoffs because they'll probably be the 4 or 5 seed. And I think they're a good team, but they also had clunker against Indiana, some other teams. I think this team just ran out of gas. I mean, mentally, they put so much on them in addition to the physical strain. I mean, Durant's second in the league in minutes for anybody. Westbrook leads all rookies in minutes. Green's got to be up there near the top for second-year players in minutes. I think mentally and physically, this team just hit a wall. Every once in a while, they summon up the energy to give the home crowd a win that they really wanted to give them against Charlotte, give the Spurs their older brother, whatever you want to look at them, all the competition they could handle. So I think they gave them occasional good game, but I think the last 3 weeks they've been running on fumes.
Okay, which leads to my next question. Why is Earl Watson suddenly playing 14 games, he sits the bench and doesn't play at all. All of a sudden, the last two, there he is, out there playing a lot of minutes, like 20-some minutes last night against Portland. What's going on?
I wish I knew, because when he got benched, we kept asking Scott Brooks and a little bit Presti, like, why is he not playing? You understood a little bit because you wanted to see if Chucky Adkins was your point guard for next year. That's the reason we were sort of subliminally hearing. And I knew right away that I didn't think that would work out, and it didn't. Then you bring in Livingston from the D League, who needs some minutes. They want to try to get Kyle Weaver more minutes. And so all those things make sense. Why he's all of a sudden playing now, I really don't know. My theory would be, and it's just a hunch, is maybe he's going to have a hard-to-move contract that they want off the books next year, $6.5 million. He put up pretty decent solid stats for a backup point guard. Maybe they're showing the last five games, oh, he wasn't hurt. We were just looking at young kids. He's the same guy he was before we benched him. Wouldn't you like him this summer? That's the only thing I could think of, is maybe they're shopping him.
Okay, you're talking about sort of the need for fresh legs late in the season, and maybe that's a little bit of it because he hadn't played in 14 games. But here's Jeff Green and Kevin Durant, and they clearly don't have fresh legs right now. But, Mike, they both had injuries in February and March that they came back from. How do you think they've looked since their injuries?
Well, I mean, when you look at their whole body of work, this is going to be a rave review from what they did season one, season two. If people remember, way back in August, I wrote a story on how much can first-year players improve their second year, and we ran a chart. Here's how much better guys got. These guys got a lot better across the board. We're talking rebounding, assists, shooting percentage, not just scoring, which everybody notices. I mean, Green's going up from like 10.5 to about 17 a game. Durant's going from 20 to the fourth leading scorer in the league. It's obvious they took big advancements. But I mean, Durant's been playing with a bad hip he fell on. He had the ankle injury. Green has just been nicked up right and left. There's no question they haven't played as well down the stretch. But when you look at all 5 months, I think they definitely made dramatic improvement. And if they do that again into next year, I mean, that's a good sign for this ball club.
Okay, next question about the lottery. The Thunder is definitely going to be in the lottery, Mike. We started this season wondering whether they might be one of the historically worst teams in NBA history. Now, it looked like, hey, they might not even have the third or fourth worst record. They might finish a lot better than that. Now they've kind of settled in. Where will they land?
Well, it's starting to look like they're definitely going to be in the four hole. I mean, they're one game behind Memphis. Memphis has been playing well, by the way, past them, because they had passed Minnesota and Memphis. They had fallen all the way down to six. Right now, they're in the four hole. If they beat the Clippers and Memphis loses its last game, those two teams tie for fourth. And the date everyone needs to remember is May 19th. NBA draft lottery. That's the day the ping pong balls go flying around. They pull them out. And to remind everybody, here's how it works. They decide the top three teams based on the ping pong balls. Once the ping pong ball's done, then they slot everybody according to record. Let's just say, in theory, Sacramento, Washington, and who am I leaving out? Clippers are the three teams with the worst record. Somehow all get 1, 2, and 3 somehow. Then you just slot them 4, 5, 6 according to your record. If Memphis and Oklahoma City tie, they'd flip a coin to see who's 4 and who's 5. If Oklahoma City doesn't catch them and lose to the Clippers, they would be in the four hole. If somebody jumps above them, like Chicago did last year, you would slide down one more spot and you'd probably be in the five hole. If you had to guess right now, they've got a 12% shot at the number one pick, which will be Blake Griffin. If they don't get that, you still have a shot to get the 2-3 hole. If you don't get all those, they should be slotted probably 4, might slide to 5 if somebody jumped around them and had ping pong luck.
Okay, so there's months, literally 2 months, to talk about draft speculation. We'll do all that. But let's talk about some of the bigger offseason decisions this team's facing. What do you think those are?
Well, a lot of people would think this is a good time to go buy a free agent because this is a buyer's market. So many teams are strapped to the cap. They're worried about season ticket sales, corporate sponsors, all that. For the first time in maybe a decade or more, NBA teams are worried about, I need to save some money. As a result, if a Millsap or a David Lee or a Turkoglu, or you can list off a bunch of guys, Jason Kidd's going to be on the market. Allen Iverson's going to be on the market. Obviously, those two older players isn't somebody the Thunder would be interested in, but there are going to be bargains out there this year. Is Sam Presti willing to go try to find a veteran bargain, even though he's trying to save money for Durant and Green and Westbrook when their numbers get higher on the books, you know, when their salaries go up here in a few years? I tend to lean that he's not going to do that. He wants to save that cap room for his young guys and have them around 5 to 7 years. But if there's a bargain out there, who knows? Sam has shown he will go against the grain. Let's say one of those guys get way cut rate, and all of a sudden he's in the bidding. He finds out it's only $4 or $5 million a year instead of $8 or $9 million a year. He may jump at that. That will be one of the interesting things. But remember, a lot of that happens after the draft. We hit so much of this here in April. A lot of this stuff's going to happen in July. That's when, I mean, a guy like Desmond Mason, everybody keeps asking, will he be back? Would he play for the minimum? Which, for a veteran minimum, I don't know what the salary would be. Probably be $1.5 million or something compared to a rookie minimum. But he won't know his answer probably till August or September. Desmond won't. He won't have any idea where he's playing. Well, it also applies to the high-priced free agents that everybody's going to be interested in. Right now, we'll be worried about the draft lottery on May 19th. They'll lead up to the draft itself. Will they maybe trade for Blake Griffin? Who will they take if they don't get Blake Griffin? Then it's July is the month the free agents are out there. So the summer's kind of a slow time, and it drags on. But Presti and his guys will be looking at all the stats. They'll be scouting a lot, both rookies and veterans. It'll be a fun summer to see if the roster's pretty much the same, because I like what they have now, but they could add a key piece.
How about, last question, Mike, how about the current players that they have on the roster they face big decisions on? Who are those? Some of those guys?
I mean, Livingston's the one that would jump out at you, but I think it's a no-lose situation, win-win. You just bring him back in camp, see how he looks. He's really committed to this summer trying to take his game to the next level. I liked what I saw from the little bit of an audition he got here late in the season. He's not the player he once was, but he's, just as Brooks always says, high basketball IQ, great passer. This team could use that. I'll be surprised if he doesn't make the opening day roster, but that's a guy they got to decide. I think everybody else is pretty much a slam dunk. Whether they trade him is the only question, but the 9-man rotation, the starting five, we know Durant, we know Green, we know Cephalosha, we know Kirstic and Westbrook. Those are the five. Off the bench is Collison, DJ White, who we got a little bit of look at late in the season, Weaver, and now Livingston. That's your 9. Earl Watson, they'll try to move, but the salary may prevent them from that. That's your 10 guys right now, and then you add a draft pick, maybe a free agent. I don't think the roster will change a lot. But Sam is willing to pull the trigger. We would have never guessed Kirstic and Livingston and Cephalosha would have been here 3 months ago. So keep your eye open for Sam at all times. But I think they've got most of the pieces they want now. They just want to add a key piece or two here as they grow together.
Okay, thanks, Mike. That's all for Inside Thunder Basketball. But you can stay with the best coverage team anywhere, every day at News OK, and every morning in the Oklahoman.